Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The Williamstown Theater Festival's second main stage production this year is the world premiere musical Lempicka, with book and lyrics by Carson Kreitzer, music by Matt Gould, and directed by Rachel Chavkin. Tamara de Lempicka, a Polish artist best known for her Art Deco paintings, was an active participant in the artistic and social life of Paris between the World Wars. She transformed herself from a destitute refugee to a star of the art world. The musical explores the beauty and danger of one painter pursuing it all. Lempicka composer Matt Gould is the co-writer of Invisible Thread. He's also the recipient of the 2012 and 2014 Richard Rogers Award, the Jonathan Larson Award, and ASCAP's Rogers Award, Dean Kaye, and Harold Adamson Awards. Matt, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you. It's actually a rectangular table, but thrilled to be here.
The name of the show is The Roundtable, and we never are sitting at a round one. So tell me how this project has, how it started.
Carson Kreitzer met me for a breakfast maybe 8 years ago after a workshop we were doing of something else. And she showed me this book of the paintings of Tamara de Lempicka. And she said, "What do you think? Tamara as a musical." And I was like, done. The music leaps out of her paintings and I just heard music immediately. And that was the start.
So then there's her life. Which is, I mean, if you agree just based on the work, the life is a whole other thing. How did you start researching and learning about it? And how much of her story is told in the show?
Well, I think that for me anyway, art definitely imitates life. And I think that a lot of Lempicka's life, as I understand it, is in her work. Carson was really my way in the beginning. As a composer, I don't always love to do a deep dive into the specifics of life and facts because music lives in an abstract space. And Carson is such an analytical, heady writer. It was important to me that the music feel emotional and lush as a counterbalance to her brilliance. But I think the show is really based on the events of her life between World War I and World War II, and a somewhat hypothetical understanding of her relationship with her muse, Raffaella, of whom she painted 7 canvases of over the course of a single year. And we've really exploded the idea of what that must have been to see this woman and to want to paint her 7 times. And it's pretty epic.
What are some of the specific moments in the show that you've gotten to write for that you want to tell us about?
Well, I think starting out, the fact that she said Lempicka and I said, "Who is that?" That was a good starting point for me. We know Picasso. We know Rivera. We know Renoir. We know all the men, all the boys. Mm-hmm. Name me a woman painter.
Frida, but that's it.
Okay, there's one, right. Good. A lot of people would be hard-pressed to come up with a quick answer. And I recently become a father to a little boy, actually, but it's really made me think about the stories that we tell in this world, the stories that we tell in the theater, and the fact that we keep telling the same stories over and over and over again about the dudes. And if we want to change the narrative, if we want a female president at some point, we have to start telling our daughters and our sons about the ladies who built this world that we're standing in. And that was a really important launch pad for me into this piece.
How old is your son?
3 months old.
And you're starting already to make sure he knows.
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, my husband and I have done a lot of work in Uganda and in West Africa. My last show was about that experience. But I think that inherent in a lot of the things that I work on is just the idea of what are we leaving behind? What are we putting out into the world that's going to get left behind? And in many ways, that is what Lempicka is about. It's the story of a woman who wants to not just make a mark, but like tear a gash into the world. And even in the moments when she's not sure she's doing it, I think she leaves a gash. And I think this musical is testament to that.
Composers working on new shows, you have to write new music all the time until you freeze the show for an opening. And then, of course, from here, it could still change after the run at Williamstown. How do you learn how to do that? As you've put up shows before, how do you become able to write music quickly during a rehearsal process?
I think once you've worked on a piece for 6, 7, 8 years, you start to, it's like being a painter, I imagine. You have your palette of colors. You have your palette of melodies and themes and ideas. So I just dip into those ideas. And honestly, things come pretty quickly for me at this point. If we're talking about, oh my God, we have to write a brand new song, which we wrote several for this production, that can be a little bit more involved. And Carson is a slippery writer in the best way. She's just so, so brilliant to the point where like the music really has to do some acrobatics to make sure that the ideas are landing the way they need to be landed. And that's been a wonderful and complicated challenge. But I think that it's paid off in a musical that is both complicated but also extremely accessible and extremely contemporary, and that feels like the stuff that we're listening to on the radio in a very heightened way.
As you and Carson work on the show, at what point does your director join the process? When does Rachel come in and become part of the creative team?
Rachel came in about a year ago during a workshop that we did here at Williamstown. And once she came in and once we start talking about actually the mechanics of how to put the thing on its feet, then she really becomes in many ways a third collaborator in the creation process. Because now we start having to go, okay, we need 8 more measures of music here just to move the set on. We need that verse is now being danced. So we don't actually need to hear them sing that anymore because that's being told through movement now. So it becomes a very interactive process. That's not the right word, but just a very integrated process with our director starting from about a year ago.
So you did the reading of Williamstown last year. Had you ever been to Williamstown before?
I had never been to Williamstown before last year. And I thought that there was going to be like a grocery store that I could walk to. I thought there was going to be like something open past 10 p.m. Not so. That's okay though. We've survived at the Stop and Shop in North Adams. All is well.
Is your family here with you? Is your husband and your son here with you?
Husband and son were here last week, and they'll be back in 2 weeks, but it has been really hard to not have them around. That's been painful, actually. That said, I think that a lot of the creation of making art, since we're making a musical about an artist, it's about sacrifice. It's about pain. It really is. Even when we don't think we're making it about pain, it's about pain. And I think a lot of Tamara's work, as we've interpreted it, was rooted in some really deep, dark experiences that she went through. And so it's been useful in a way to tap into that longing as we're trying to tell a story about epic love and epic longing.
I cannot wait to see the show, and I thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here at the Square Round Table.
Matt Gould is the composer of the world premiere musical Lempicka, which is on the main stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival in Williamstown, Massachusetts, July 19th through August 1st. Lempicka's book and lyrics are by Carson Kreitzer, and the show is directed by Rachel Chavkin, who joins us now. Chavkin received Tony and Lortel nominations and the Drama Desk, Elliot Norton, and the prestigious Smithsonian American Ingenuity Awards for her direction of Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812. Other select credits include The Royale, Small Mouth Sounds, and Hadestown. She's the founding artistic director of the team. Rachel, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks, I'm happy to be here.
Tell me how you came to this project and how it earned your attention and time.
Yeah, so I met Matt and Carson and the show Lempicka years ago, actually via a colleague of ours who worked at Yale Rep and thought we would get along well. And I fell quite madly in love with it sort of from the get-go. I loved how it fused history together with very personal stories. And I loved in particular that it was all based around this wildly ambitious, powerful, complicated woman, Tamara de Lempicka.
This is the world premiere full production at Williamstown. What have the steps been leading to here?
I know that it's always many, especially for a musical.
Yeah, a new musical is a really complicated thing to bake. It's had a number of steps. I mean, there have been private sessions just between Matt and Carson as they take sort of the mountains of notes that I might give, or Mandy Greenfield, or other colleagues who encounter the script, and they go away and work together and rip open songs and write totally new songs. I have spent a lot of time also with them in those dramaturgical moments, sort of tearing apart the script. Carson has a penchant for index cards, so there's a lot of index card games. And then we've done a number of readings, including a reading last summer at the Williamstown Theater Festival.
What are you learning in rehearsals right now?
The learning rate for a new musical is like a mile a minute, speeding at a very steep incline downhill on driving towards opening night. I mean, we have rewritten music and or words every single day in the room as we see how a scene plays out, as we can feel, oh, the song is achieving this beat, so actually let's clear that out of the scene leading into that so that the song feels really necessary. Figuring out what the rhythm wants to be of the book scenes, because there's some scenes that don't have music scoring behind them, and there's some recitative, meaning a sort of sung dialogue, and then there's outright song. And so figuring out rhythmically how all those things want together, while also obviously seeing how the story sits on our beautiful company, all of that is like information that we're digesting and revising with on a minute-by-minute basis.
What is it about the story that this show tells that most grabbed you and made you want to work on it?
I think the primary thing is the character of Tamara Dylan-Pica. She's not someone, I certainly recognized her work when I read this, but I could not have told you her name before.
I had the same thing. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, I've seen all of these, but had never learned who created them.
Right. So feminism.
Yeah.
The excitement of telling her story, and I personally very strongly identify with her story without saying necessarily too much about my personal life. She is wildly desirous professionally. She's wildly ambitious sexually. Her appetite for the world is, I think, just profound. And that's a story that we see a lot on male protagonists, but have seen almost never on female protagonists. And so that, for me, was the central hook into the piece.
How do you then find the actor that can do all of that, that can perform all of that?
Yeah, the casting process was really complicated for Lempicka, in part because the actress who plays the role has to travel from essentially a blushing bride at 19 at the opening of the story all the way to a woman essentially on her deathbed in 1979. And to be able to sing Matt's score, which is basically an impossible score, plus having the acting chops, that's a profoundly demanding thing. And Eden Espinoza has an incredible balance of personal strength and spine while also having this bloody heart, and then pipes that are sort of out of control. And one of the first things I said to her is, okay, well, this is Hamlet, you know, and that is the equivalent role for this piece.
You direct musicals, but not exclusively.
That's correct. I just directed Carol Churchill's play Light Shining in Buckinghamshire at New York Theatre Workshop, and I do a mixture of new plays and musicals and occasionally older plays as well.
Is your approach different depending on if it's a musical or a play without music?
Yeah, working on a play and working on a musical is like two totally different creatures. Working on a musical is almost like running a military operation because of the amount of regimentation that has to come due to so many departments needing to swim together, and you really do have to move like synchronized swimmers if the process is to be a healthy one. And so communication is key. You're scheduling things down to every 10 minutes and what you're doing. And you inevitably run over, but there it is. Whereas with a play, actually, it can be much more loosey-goosey because, A, there's less moving parts, but also, B, you're dealing much more delicately with time and the culture of time as to how performers are handling space and the spaces between their lines and between each other. In a musical, time is prescribed by the composer, so it's less complicated on that front.
You directed Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812, which I love. I know that it's maybe not a fair question to ask you to sort of encapsulate that experience, which had many different stages, but you got a Tony nomination for directing it. What are your sort of takeaways from the whole thing?
Speaking of developmental stages, I felt very lucky by the time Comet arrived on Broadway because I had directed it 4.5 times by that point. And so we knew what we were doing. And we knew that we had, if we think about the process by which a diamond is made in terms of like compacting and making denser and denser and denser over geological time, that in some ways each production, each workshop, each production for a musical allows the work to get denser and denser and more compact, both in terms of just literally its runtime and making sure there's no loose moments, but also the density of staging and the degree to which you're able to carry theme into every moment of like interaction between two characters, how a husband and wife touch each other's faces in Lampica. And certainly I could point to a million moments in Comet that had that kind of earned density of meaning because it took a long time to develop.
You are the founding artistic director of The Team. Tell us what that is, what that does, what that provides.
The Team is a Brooklyn-based company. We were founded in 2004, and it's a collaborative ensemble that makes new work about the experience of living in America today. And we tour that work nationally and internationally, as well as performing at our home in New York.
How do you figure out your schedule, like when you're going to, you run this company, you tour those things, you develop other pieces, you come to Williamstown, it's a million different things all the time, which is not uncommon for someone in your position, but how do you figure it out?
Right. So there's two answers to that. One is an incredible woman who was my associate director on Comet and is actually my associate director on Lampica, who also shares a similar brain shape to mine in terms of our ability to microtask and multitask. And so she helps me wrangle where I'm supposed to be at every minute of the day. And then separately, I have sort of a freak party skill, which is if you name a date in the next 2 years, I can probably tell you where I'm supposed to be. So I also just have a very regimented brain in terms of how time lines up and how long, like how a project's development timeline maps onto my calendar. So I'm sort of constantly thinking both artistically and logistically. And yeah, I'm really good at repressing and segmenting.
You must also have to be adaptable too, though. Like you can't memorize for 2 years out on a working in the arts and then be sure what's going to happen.
Definitely. No, I mean, the Broadway calendar has, which is still new-ish to me, is something that has sort of really blown my ability to quite plan in the way I used to because of the way Broadway real estate works, and that sometimes you can know you're going to get a theater and what the trajectory for a show might be, and sometimes you don't until potentially quite late. Whereas nonprofits and regional theaters tend to schedule sometimes a year and a half, 2 years out. So you can make, you know, best laid plans. And then.
Congratulations on all of the work, and thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thanks. I can't wait for you to see Lampica.
Rachel Chavkin is the director of the world premiere musical Lampica, which is running at the Williamstown Theater Festival in Williamstown, Massachusetts, July 19th through August 1st. To learn more, visit WTFestival.org. That link will be posted along with these interviews at wamc.org/roundtable.